Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Last weekend's massacre at a gay club in Orlando sent shockwaves across the country and much of the world. Many communities are looking more closely at their LGBT worlds, and that's where we're going behind the headlines. What is the Orlando impact here? Joining me in studio are Stephen Brawley, founder of the St. Louis LGBT History Project and the author of Gay and Lesbian St. Louis. Faizan Syed is the executive director of the Council on American Islamic Relations, or CARE. It's here in St. Louis, of course. Incidents like Orlando also have an impact on Muslim America. A little later, we'll hear from St. Louis Public Radio's Nancy Fowler, who's done some reporting on the issue this week. Gentlemen, thanks so much for being with us in studio. Nice to have you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Stephen, let me begin with you and ask if it's possible to assess at this point the impact on Orlando and the LGBT community here.
Well, I think there's that initial wave of shock and despair and grief. There's been some very moving vigils that have been held. There was a vigil held Sunday in the Grove area at the Transgender Memorial Garden, and there nearly 3,000 people showed up, which is an amazing sign of solidarity that many people would assemble so quickly. There was another vigil in Kirkwood earlier in the week, organized by a very young man. I believe he was 16 years old, so that shows also some very interesting aspects of people coming together and younger folks helping organize that. But I think it's Pride Month. We have several Pride activities, St. Charles Pride this weekend, the big St. Louis Pride downtown at Soldiers Memorial is next weekend, and then Black Pride will be in August. So I think as these Prides occur, there's going to be time for reflection. And I'm not sure what we know about the call for action, what that's going to look like yet. But I sense that there will be, being an election year, that this horrible tragedy will result in people coming together and figuring out, how do we react to some of the hate mongering that's out there.
Faizan, what about the Muslim community here? Can you get a reading on the impact? Because an incident such as this in which a Muslim is involved frequently has ramifications. What have you been hearing and what do you see?
Well, first, I wanted to say at the vigil that happened this Sunday, I was honored to come and actually speak at that vigil on behalf of the Muslim community. And one of the most powerful moments that at least impacted me is that at the very beginning of that vigil, one of the organizers, he said that we are not going to let this hate incident that's happened to us impact and allow for Islamophobia to happen and perpetuate in our community. And I think that hits the nail on the head, because what we've seen is whenever there's any type of, heinous, terrible attack that happens and the person happens to be Muslim or happens to be from, some part of the world, then immediately there's a movement, even by some of the highest people running for office in this country, that want to blame all Muslims for that tragedy, for that incident. Even though Omar Mateen, the perpetrator of that attack, how Muslim was he? He wasn't going to the Islamic Center. He was struggling with his identity. His wife said he was bipolar. He was a wife beater. But despite all of that, just because of that association, normal people are being targeted right now within St. Louis and across the country. People are being physically assaulted across the nation. Just this morning, we had an intruder visit an Islamic center and threatened the community that was inside there as well, and the police had to be called. So, again, we do see that tremendous backlash happening. But what I'm so proud of is that the LGBTQ community, despite having this tremendous tragedy happen to them, the first thing that happened at the vigil on Sunday and at the Kirkwood vigil is that they said, we are not going to allow this issue allow for Islamophobia to happen, which I think is tremendous and amazing.
Well, you mentioned the vigil and vigils, but as I mentioned earlier, I had a chance to talk with St. Louis Public Radio's Nancy Fowler yesterday. She attended one of those vigils, and let's hear what she had to say about her experience there.
I was there not as a reporter, but just as a member of the community, my wife and I. And, it was funny. It was just really hours after the shooting. It wasn't funny, really. It was kind of terrifying because one of my thoughts was, something like that could happen here. Here are 1,000 members of the LGBT community, and if somebody wanted to find a target, here we are. So it was a little bit frightening.
Had you had any kind of thoughts like that prior to this incident?
No, I never have.
And yet there are a lot of people today that are feeling exactly the way you are in our LGBT community here, particularly with regard to the bars and clubs.
Exactly. I mean, bars have always been a safe haven. historically, I mean, imagine if before you went to hold your wife's hand, you'd have to look around to see if anybody would be offended or maybe even throw something at you. And the only place you could do that was, you know, in these welcoming bars. And it's been such a community and a safe place to be who you are, even now.
Do you think the straight community fully understands that?
I think if maybe you're a member of a minority, like I have friends who are Jewish who have felt similar fears, you know, when yeah. gathered with others. I think if you're not a member of a minority, you might not quite grasp that on a visceral level, you know, that kind of fear.
What about attending facilities like this in the future? Are you going to maybe cut back? I don't know if you're, it's a regular thing that you do, but would you think about it before going to one of these places?
Yeah, no. You know, I mean, what I felt was a feeling. I mean, the reality is that these things are very rare. I mean, horrific. But the likelihood, you know, I mean, I think is the most of the people I talked with, they're just going to go on and live their lives and more determined than ever, really.
You know, Nancy, this latest incident, of course, is so shocking and so awful. But I kind of thought we'd maybe gotten a little beyond this kind of thing, certainly this kind of thing, but gotten beyond the kind of hate and animosity and hostility that obviously is still out there.
Yeah, I mean, the people I talked with, I would say, were you surprised that this kind of thing could happen today? And most of them said, sadly, no. And, you know, many of them said at a time when the LGBT community is experiencing much more visibility and inequality, you know, at least with gay and lesbian couples as far as marriage equality, you know, they feel like it's some sort of a backlash, that the hate is reaching a fever pitch among those who feel they're losing their grip on the ability to control the lives of this population.
St. Louis Public Radio reporter Nancy Fowler. Stephen, let me come to you on this. A couple of things that Nancy brought up. Number one, the safe place concept, that bars and clubs typically are that kind of place. But you're talking about a number of gay pride events that are going to be taking place. I wonder if these can be considered safe places anymore, or if people are concerned, as she was last Sunday.
Sure, that's an immediate reaction. I think you can't promise a safe place anymore anywhere. So I think what you're hearing is you're creating safer places as best you can. So I would suspect that there will be some additional security that you may not know or see undercover or plains clothes, I guess is what you would call that, to make sure that there is some heightened security. But yet I think the community in general, I believe, will turn out in large force to show support, to show determination, to say we're not scared, we're going to, you know, step forward from this horrible thing and be united. And I think the vigils we saw this week, and I think as you see the next couple Pride weekends, I suspect you will see large crowds.
Faison, within the Muslim community, do you think this kind of fear is shared? I mean, when groups get together, members of your faith get together, do you think there's the same kind of concern that something like this could happen?
It's definitely a concern. Even a simple example I can give you is when I was a kid, security was never a concern at any Islamic center, at any Muslim event. Most of the time, they wouldn't even hire security guards. It just wasn't part of the psyche. Now, every Islamic center, at least in St. Louis, are now taking a hard look at their security. They are actually going through active shooter training and other types of programs. So, of course, that idea of fear is there. But as Stephen mentioned, we cannot allow those people who have hatred and then take action on their hatred and violence allow us to hide ourselves and who we are, the community. By doing so, we allow them to win. We empower those people. And I'm proud that the LGBT community is going to continue doing what they do, and the Muslim community has to continue standing for our rights in this country, because only by doing that will you build a society that is actually more inclusive and more welcoming. And when you hide, you empower these types of people.
Mm. What about the media's role in all of this? I'll start with you, Faison. The media does play a role because something like this is covered wall to wall 24/7 and it gets an awful lot of attention. Do you have any sense that the media shares any kind of responsibility in fanning the flames of animosity? I'll use the less strong word.
That's a very interesting question. You know, we just went through a week where we buried Muhammad Ali. And then the coverage from the media was this very beautiful, positive coverage of the Muslim community, of his legacy. And then this instant tragedy that happened then completely shifted that focus. Many in the media are asking the question, what are Muslims doing to combat terrorism? What are Muslims doing to do these types of things? And it creates a guilt by association. Because again, this person is not a radicalized Islamic terrorist. He's an all-American psychopath. And we've had 133 mass shootings in this country this year alone. And the reality is that it's easy to label this person as a radical terrorist. And by doing so, you no longer have to worry about the larger culture that we live in. What do we say about a society where a man can legally purchase an assault rifle with extended magazines? What do you say about a society that just before this incident happened, transgender bathrooms were the wall-to-wall coverage? And now, for some reason, everybody is forgetting that type of controversy. So I think rather than taking that lazy approach, we need to look at ourselves as Americans, as a society and a culture, and think, what does this tragedy say about us as a community? You can label them a terrorist and be ignorant about it, or you can really discuss these much more deeper concerning issues.
Steve, what's your thoughts with regard to media coverage? Is it fair to the LGBT community?
I think it's come a long way. I think there's a long way to go. I think after the Supreme Court decision last June, there was lots of, as you said, coverage, in which lots of exposure. And then immediately you saw the tactic take place. Okay, so the T of the LGBT is vulnerable. We can hit that hard. So all of a sudden the bathroom bill started. All that hoopla started, election year cycle started, and so we saw Texas and some of these other cases where that's where they went.
The transgender issue has sort of complicated things, hasn't it, because of the attention it's been getting recently?
Well, I wouldn't say complicated is a bad thing. I think it's a good thing. Absolutely.
It's created another element to the whole discussion.
It's created that discussion. It's mm-hmm. and again, it's the, you know, Missouri is known for this God, gun, gay strategy. Mm-hmm. And so now that you've got an election year going, and now that we have the bill that, thank God, didn't get passed out of committee in Jeff City this year, of the religious freedom bill, where that was Missouri again was leading the way with looking just very backward and not very inclusive at all.
Well, the other news is it's probably going to be back in the next session. I have to take a break now. We'll do that and continue our discussion about the impact of Orlando here in St. Louis on the Muslim and the LGBT community. My guests in studio, Faizan Syed, Executive Director of the Council on American-Islamic Relations, and Stephen Brawley, author of Gay and Lesbian St. Louis. Back in a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Now back to our conversation with Faizan Syed and Stephen Brawley. Gentlemen, before we continue our part of the conversation, I'd like to bring Nancy Fowler back into the discussion. You know, in Orlando, many families learned that loved ones were gay when they were killed or wounded and thereby identified. I talked to Nancy about that, which for some made an awful situation even more complicated.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm sure they must be going through a wide range of feelings about that. Did I even know my loved one? Grieving for the relationship they might have had, you know, had the person been able to be open. And, you know, I guess that speaks to trying to make that part of mm-hmm. your relationships. But with some family members, it's just difficult.
If it's not too personal, could you tell me what it was like for you to come out and tell your family and friends that here I am, folks?
Yeah, well, gosh, how do I put this? I had the problem/luxury of not having to tell very many people because someone in my life told everyone for me. And so...
Did you appreciate that?
Not at the time. Mm-hmm. I look back now, though, and I think, you know, I didn't really have to make that decision. But I was left to answer a whole lot of questions for myself and for my family members because they knew and they were looking at me like, what? But I see people struggle to make that decision to come out. And in many ways, I didn't have to struggle because that was decided for me.
Would you have any advice for somebody listening right now who may be having that struggle at this moment?
Yeah, one of the My wife is actually a therapist and serving the LGBT community. And one of the things that she recommends is that you gather your family of choice around you before you tell possibly problematic family members, and then get that support group close to you, anticipating maybe a not favorable outcome. And then if that proves to be the case, then you have other people in your life that love and support you at that difficult time.
All right. That's, once again, Nancy Fowler of St. Louis Public Radio. Do either of you gentlemen want to react to that? Stephen, you were nodding affirmatively during her remarks.
Yeah, absolutely. We know at the History Project, we've been collecting oral histories, and you just hear time and time again, you name the scenario of people who were either outed or folks who were so scared to come out and had to find their way to do it. And there's no, you know, right way, wrong way. We're just hoping that because of the world we live in today and hopefully the support that's grown and this tragedy that we had last Sunday, hopefully that would give people some ability to find a way, to find that voice to come out.
It's a little different, Faizan, for you and for your members of your faith. Although I suspect that when you are identified or some are identified as Muslim, that there is also a negative reaction.
No, of course. Even a simple example I can give, and I said this at the vigil in Kirkwood, is that, you know, I grew up in Kirkwood my entire life, and we never had any issues. But just 6 months ago, some crazy person sent my family a package that had, like, white powder in it. So we had to call the hazmat team and the FBI. They blocked off my street, and a man in a full suit came into my house to take it. So the reality is that the hatred that's growing in this country is not just rhetoric. Often we say political rhetoric. It's not just rhetoric. It creates a situation where people who are lesser minds, who might have mental illness, are now taking action against people who they believe are a threat to them or their society and their culture. And that leads to innocent people being targeted and attacked, which is what we see happening within the Muslim community and the LGBT community as well. At that same vigil, one of the transgender speakers said that every 29 hours, a transgender person is targeted and killed in this country. And I had no idea. So what does that say about us as a nation that we don't even know the struggles and the stories that other people are going through on a daily basis? And I think what this tragedy allows is for us to now start speaking about other people's struggles, to just be accepted and welcome in our communities.
Stephen?
You know, when the tragedies have happened, when the Columbine students were murdered, when the Newtown babies were murdered, no one ever said, kill more, reap what you sow. And all week we've seen the YouTube videos, we've seen the Facebook posts, just vile hate. I don't care if you don't like my lifestyle, if that's what they want to call it. However, I mean, what shred of decency do you not have to at minimum say, I'm sorry, this was horrible?
Yeah, there certainly has been a change in tone in this country in recent years, no question. We have a caller who wants to get into our discussion. Let's bring in Peg, who is calling from St. Louis. Peg, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hi, Peg. Go ahead.
Hi. My comment simply is we've done a very good job of discussing the impact of this tragedy on the LGBT community and the Muslim community. But the community that it affected the most, and I haven't seen it commented on any national media, any radio, anything, is the impact on the Latino community.
Thank you for the call, Peg. Yes, this is a condition that exists also for that community as well.
No, yeah, of course. Even just to add on to that, I mean, what this caller is talking about is that night was Latin night. So the vast majority of people who were in that club were of Latino of origin. So this impact is part of a larger issue within this nation as well, that this election cycle particularly, Latin Americans, especially Mexicans, have been targeted, villainized, and dehumanized. And, you know, they've been called rapists, they've been called all these names. And again, the result of that is that when you dehumanize one population of people, you're able to dehumanize other populations of peoples. And I think that's what we see happening.
And it's, you know, we can look back in history, and we don't have to go back too very far to see what awful results can come from that sort of thing. Did you want to say something, Steve?
Yeah, I was reading an article this morning about this horrible impact on the Latino community in Orlando, and they were talking about the generational effect this is going to have. You know, 50 lives, the majority being Latino, of those relationships and those legacies gone. 50 is a lot, and you, as you go generationally, you know, that's impacting hundreds and thousands as you go through the, you know, the next 50 years.
We have to begin to wind down this conversation, and I'd like to end it on a more positive note, if that's at all possible, given all of these circumstances. But once again, I'll turn to Nancy Fowler, and I'll want your reaction to what she's going to say, because one of the things she's reported on this week has been the fact that members of the LGBT community here have been working on a project to send comfort to their colleagues and counterparts in Orlando. So let's hear what she had to say about this video project that is still ongoing.
Yeah, so there's this guy, he's a social work student, and he decided to invite anyone who wanted to participate in a video project where he asks them questions about the impact of the shooting on them and also allows them to send a message to people in Orlando. And he'll post this on Facebook and make sure people in Orlando see it. And he has a really nice studio set up. It's a very high-quality project. And people, I sat in on a couple of the sessions, and, you know, it's pretty emotional.
What are the kinds of things they're saying to their friends and new friends in Orlando?
Yeah, well, they want to express the solidarity. You know, they want to say, I mean, there's not much they can say, really, except just like with any sort of grief, we love you and we're here for you and we feel that you are in pain.
How many people have responded by making these messages? Well, do you know yet?
Yeah, they had, their initial session was, I believe, Wednesday, and or Tuesday. Anyway, they had 50 people signed up. There's a second session to be held on Sunday, and I'm not sure how many are signed up for that.
Nancy Fowler once again. Steve Brawley, do you think some video pieces that she described are going to be of much comfort to folks in Orlando?
I would hope. I mean, there's a lot going on, and hopefully if it's not today, it'll be something that they would see, you know, in 6 months or a year, and to remind them of the support they had. My friend Aaron's the one actually who's putting that together, and he's remarkable at doing this type of work. So, you know, it's a two-way thing. It's helping those who are dealing with what happened here in St. Louis express and deal with it in their way, and so it's a good therapeutic measure.
Any thoughts, Faison?
I think I'll just conclude, you know, that tragedy has a way, of course, impacting our hearts and our souls, but it also has the ability to bring strangers together, people who would never sit in the same room with each other. And I think this tragedy has the ability to bring Muslims, people of the LGBTQ community together, along with other communities such as Hispanics and others, because we need to stand together, because the challenges that we're facing as a nation today can only be overcome when all the different groups come together and stand for it. And I think this is one positive step that's come out of a very terrible killing that happened in Orlando.
That is in helping galvanize various communities to stand together, right? Okay, I'm going to have to let it go out of that. I want to thank you both gentlemen for being with us and talking about this and helping us go behind the headlines, along with Nancy Fowler, of course. Faison Syed, great to see you again. Nancy Fowler, we've already thanked. And we want to thank Stephen Brawley as well for being with us. Thank you very much. Good luck. And keep doing what you're doing, guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.